Titans Call is a D&D 5e actual play podcast containing mature themes and adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Titans Call, the D&D 5e actual play podcast by Double DM. And we are finally back. There probably wasn't a break for your listeners out there, but there was a very, very long, extended, way too long break for us as players and DM. I mean, I moved, Nils was on vacation, Smurf was on vacation. I don't know, Sönke has done nothing in the time.
Was sick, as always.
As always sick. Yeah, as for sickness, we're all kind of sick. So if this and the next episode kind of sound a little bit off to you, that's why. We're just going to pretend that in the world of Aurea, everyone is sick at this time of the year. Now it's canon.
It's the change of climate.
Now we're method acting. Which actual play podcast has that? Think. Oh my god. How are you guys doing? Please introduce yourselves. Obviously, I'm sorry I took that away from you. So please introduce yourselves. How are you feeling today? And are you excited?
All right. Hello. I'm Smurf. I'm playing Macy Grace.
Everyone at
and I
once.
Feel awesome. I'm super excited to record today again. And indeed, it's been a while, but glad to be back.
Yeah, and I'm Sönke. I'm playing Kuwaitian Duskwood. And I'm a bit sick, but I can always muster up the energy to play some Dungeons & Dragons. So let's go. I'm hyped.
I will quote him on that the next time he cancels because he's sick. But just saying.
You better do.
Because I'm sick, then I cancel because I don't want to come. It's for your protection. Mm-hmm. If you are fine with me coming to D&D, even though I'm sick, sure.
For those wondering, we are obviously recording remote. Even if one of us has COVID-19, none of us can get it from the other person because everyone is in the confines of their own home. Anyway, as for Titans Call, I think we are ready to dive into episode 9 of Titans Call. Are you all ready?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Last time this group left off, you guys had some library adventures. You chatted with the Bing system about books to help you guys in your research to find out more about Titans, magic runes, Jack O'Haron, and other things. You also met the Professor Grambard, who had a very thoughtful and interesting high intellectual debate with Kuwaitian Duskwood about whether the Titans are related to giants. He offered further assistance in your research if you so needed. You then made your ways back to the refugee camp to lay down for a night's rest. So you haven't laid down yet. So as you guys enter the refugee camp, still in this kind of somber mood, obviously, right? They're still here because their home was destroyed because they lost family, friends, and loved ones. They, with the setting sun, it just becomes more somber, you could say. Yeah, you see people eating, you see still people comforting each other, you see some people crying, you see other people making the best of it, playing cards or dice games. You make your way back to your beds or to your accommodations, and what do you do?
Personally, I don't feel like socializing because it's been a long day, and I have the feeling that tomorrow we'll have to do lots of things. And I mean, we don't know anyone personally, and everyone struggles with their own issues. So I would just like to take my time and enjoy the presence of my mates and probably just go to sleep.
That's totally valid and respectable. Not talking to anyone.
Yeah, I think Aiden would probably do the same, more or less, just listening to people talking without screams and destruction in the background, and just enjoying a bit of normal life again-ish while sitting in the tent that they were assigned to, with all the pressure dropping, or at least some of it, probably fall right asleep very soon.
Yeah, okay.
As for Kuwaitian, would also not socialize, but you would probably take a moment to walk through the refugee camp and thinking about if the city of Bark, or better, how long the city of Bark can allow itself to feed all those people, at which point the, well, ecosystem of the city of Bark would crumble underneath the refugees.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a reason they are outside the city, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason they haven't brought them in yet, because the city wasn't prepared for this sort of large-scale group of people coming to them for aid. But they are not refusing aid. You know that the fields around the city, the endless and endless cornfields, bean fields, and whatever they have, are enough to feed these people. But the city isn't built to host that many extra people in its walls, in its buildings. So they are left outside. Korean probably doesn't know a lot, doesn't know anything about city planning at all.
No, no.
Or city regulations or whatever. So he also wouldn't know if the city has any plans to move them somewhere else, to build new houses for them or whatever. Obviously, Korean is smart enough to guess that not everyone plans to stay here forever.
Yes.
But this is the first safe haven that there actually is next to this, to the ruined city of Andorra. So it is just logical that the most people are here.
Yeah. It was mostly based on food and, you know, if too many animals would migrate into the forest, the local ecosystem would get destroyed. And I can, based on that level. So, yeah.
I've got a question.
Yeah?
How far away are the next few nearby cities? Like, are people moving forward or are they staying in the city?
There are people moving away again after they've found some footing here. The travel to other cities is along the lines of the time you took to get here. So 3, 4, 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So not an easy journey necessarily, right? The roads are safe, but currently also there is this fear of what is even safe anymore. If one of the safest cities on the continent gets destroyed in an hour like that. Yeah, so there's a lot to process just from this refugee camp alone, from all the emotions you see around, all the information you can kind of pick up. But yeah, people are moving forward. There are still people arriving, right?
Mm.
You also weren't the last to leave Andorra's. There were still people there, some staying behind probably forever. So yeah, people are moving back and forth again. People are coming. Some are moving back to Andorra's even.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different movement in these refugees, but there is movement. It's not that many of them are moving. Many are just staying here because here they are safe and fed and cared for, more or less. So why not stay here for the near future and then see where it goes, probably, is their way of thinking.
Yeah, I was just wondering whether people are trying to, I don't know, get comfortable maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can even get comfortable in the situation. You know, if you think, all right, I'm going to stay in the city, or I don't know, so we're here for a long, long time, you approach stuff differently, you know?
So you definitely see people, in quotation marks, getting comfortable, I would say. Mm. It's not that necessarily you see people preparing to rest here for a year or two, right? That's not something you can really gauge from looking at them.
Yeah.
But there are people, like I said, playing card games, playing dice games that seem to make the best of the situation they are in. And seem to be getting comfortable with the situation. You're allowed to venture into the city. You're allowed to stay the day in the city. Just that sleeping and kind of regulated a bit, watched over by the guard, is here. Right? You get your food here. You get your place of sleep here, charge free. But you can't spend your day in the city. You can probably see some people that have, after now, it's been a day for you guys. It's been 3 days of travel for you guys and a few days. There are some people here that have been here for like 4 days now, 5 days now. You might be able to see that there are some people here that have started to bring home equipment. Like, they took on a job, more or less, and brought the equipment they got home again. So some of them have might even taken on jobs already to earn some money to maybe care for their family members that are here in the refugee camp. So maybe some people are planning to get comfortable here, stay here for a really extended period of time.
Also, I assume that a few people definitely hope to be able to get into the city sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's definitely just the feeling you get, that everyone kind of has, right? The city has not that big and strong of walls as Andorra's has. So what you see is the walls don't mean anything for these people. But civilization itself kind of still means something.
Yeah.
They are outside of the civilization of the city. They are not part of the city yet. At least they don't feel that way. That is being felt. And you feel that some people, actually a lot of people, would love to be part of the city. Would be able to stay in the city.
Yeah, of course. I mean, no one likes to be left outside alone. So.
Yeah, even though, right, you're in the camp of 5,000 people, you're still feeling kind of alone, left out to dry, more or less, here. So yeah, that definitely is the feeling you're getting here from walking through the camp to your campsite. And as I described, it's a somber feeling. It feels kind of a little bit depressing with a lot of shimmers of hope everywhere from people clinging on to different parts of hope, be it a new job, be it that their family is still alive, be it that they might return to their homes, all of that stuff.
All right. Thanks.
No problem. Karadin, you said you were walking a bit through the camp, but you also probably returned to your sleeping accommodations sooner rather than later?
Yeah, rather sooner than later.
And then you also go to sleep? Do you stay awake? Okay, perfect. Yeah. You guys all go to sleep. As you all sleep in the night, in the dark, Macy, let's turn to you. You have another dream.
Oh, no.
It feels like the dream you had a few days ago. It feels like a memory. It's hard to pin what it actually is. It feels like a painting once more. The black shades fade and flow across the dream's canvas. They paint alleyways in a city. They paint the scene of darkness. Out of that darkness, slowly, 5 creatures, people, things, are emerging with an intent. With a drive forward, with a drive towards you, as if they want something from you and are willing to kill for it. You see a big, bulky spider make its way on the walls of this alleyway towards you. There are 2 small scorpions crawling towards you. There's this weird, deformed mouth with all kinds of random, aligned, jagged, small blade-like teeth on a slim figure on top of a wheel? A flying skeletal box. Weird creatures, things, something that somehow feels hostile towards you. Then your image washes to black and you wake up once again in the morning.
Oh, no. Oh. All right, I open my eyes. Really, really, really widely, because I need all the light I can get into my brain, because this was terrifying.
You get as much light into your eyes as it starts to burn, but
it's okay.
You're letting that happen for a few seconds, looking right into, more or less, into the morning sun. Not directly, obviously, but into the sky, and you're kind of flashed by it. Others, maybe you guys are already awake, kind of see Macy get awake, stand up, walk 2 steps so she can see the sunlight, and just stand there looking at the sun.
I would like to get up and follow her.
Mm-hmm.
And go like, Macy, what's up?
Oh my god, don't scare me. Oh, jeez. Oh, don't.
Sorry,
oh.
Sorry.
No, sorry. No, I'm
everything
sorry. Just
all right?
I just had the most terrifying dream in a while. And it's not the first one. And I don't know what is causing my dreams to be so messed up. Oh, I think I just need a while. I cannot describe it. It's disgusting and it's terrifying and it's dark and it's, and I need the sun and everything is so depressing and, oh, sorry, I'm a bit overwhelmed, I think.
Okay, no pressure. Oh. Just wanted to ask if I can be of help.
And oh, good.
All right, just say a word if you want, if you need any help, I'll be right over there.
That's kind of you. Thanks.
And then walk towards some sort of table or sitting arrangement near our tent, maybe? And just sit down and enjoy, in quotation marks, the morning sun.
I'd like to take a minute or two and then join Aiden at the table, if there's a table.
There isn't really a table. I think you're just sitting down on the ground.
Then I will join Aiden sitting on the ground. Maybe we should make a plan for the next few days, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I have this strong urge to do something, like to be busy somehow.
Very understandable. But I think we still should let Coradium sleep if he wants to.
I'm listening.
Oh, you're there. Oh, you're awake.
Well, at this point, there wasn't really a point in, you know, standing up. So I took my time, still lying there.
So you're coming out of bed soon, or...
Yeah, I'm coming out of bed now.
Okay, shall we get something to eat?
Oh, yes.
Breakfast is a great idea.
All right, then. And then I start to walk towards the place where we get our rations for the day.
Uh-huh. Sure, you can make your way there. There's kind of a line.
Mm-hmm.
Not big. Yeah, there are many places where you can get your rations, but you just choose one. And yeah, after some like 10, 20 minutes, you're handed your pack of rations for the day. Yeah, it's a normal ration, as always. Mm. There's a little bit of drier bread in there, right? It's not really dry bread, but it's a day or two old, maybe. So not the freshest of bread, but do not mind. This is something you've normally, right? These are soldier rations, more or less.
Yeah.
A little bit of bread, a little bit of, I don't know, dried meats, maybe, and some roots, some vegetables. Something so you can get everything you need.
Okay, I think we should start with yesterday and maybe exchange what we found out.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe then form a plan based on that where we want to go.
Yeah, I've seen you two were quite busy in the library. So what was going on there?
Well, have you ever wondered why a titan is called a titan?
No.
Or a giant, or maybe even coloss or anything like that?
No. But is this relevant?
Well, if a titan is called a titan and not a giant, is it because I am not, you know, familiar or similar? Or should they be called giants if they were similar to the giants that we know as giants?
Are you proposing that we were looking for the wrong things all the way?
Not necessarily.
But you're implying it.
Oh, no, that wasn't my idea.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's something we can think about while researching titans, giants, colossus, whatever we want to call that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it would be the best to try to find some elves who might know more about them.
So do you suggest we do go across the forest in a search for elves? Because as far as I understood it, it wasn't the best idea to do that.
Yeah, it's not the best idea to go through the forest, but...
Now you want to do it.
Do we have any other ideas?
To be honest, I don't. Because all I found out was something about Jack O'Haron, but nothing major. Only that he's kind of sailed around the world, but that really wasn't his goal. And his movements on the map kind of seemed random at times. So his goal of this voyage wasn't really documented. So I think the elves might be best place to look forward to. Because if I remember correctly, some elves, or elves in general, tend to live very long lives. And I think Jack O'Haron was alive in a time span where some elves might still live from that time period. No?
As long as there isn't an elf that found the secret to eternal life, no. That's impossible. I don't have the notes right now with me, but I can tell you that Jack O'Haron is an old person. Jack O'Haron lived from 531 to 578 and is currently 1392. So yeah, I'm going to redact that. Yeah, there might be still elves living from that time. But also you will have to remember that most elves don't necessarily live 1,000 years, right? Not all humans live 100 years.
No, but they have the capability to live that long.
Yes.
In comparison to humans.
Yes.
Also, the question is whether there is an elf who's interested in humans.
It's roughly 900 years. That's roughly the age where most elves die. So you might find someone that's very old that might have been alive at that time. And no guarantee that he even knows who Jack O'Haron is, but...
Yeah, or maybe someone who knew someone who was alive during that time.
Yeah, just saying that that's a long shot.
Yeah, but that's all that I found out, really.
I mean, I get it. It's just one generation away at most.
For elves,
yes. Not for us. Yeah, on that topic, I don't have much information as well.
How
long ago was my dream, Emil?
What dream?
The last dream, where I had the dream about... Where I dreamed about the silhouette in black and with the nine shadows.
With the nine shadows. So you had two dreams, the one you had today and the one you had before that.
Yeah.
That was before the day you arrived at the city of Bark, right? You had the dream. After that, you got attacked by the bandits. And after that, you arrived here. So that's the timeline. So it's 2-3 days ago.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, something along those lines. A few days.
Okay, thanks.
Well, alternatively, we could just wait.
I'll be honest, I don't feel like waiting.
Me neither.
Because it's like we're waiting for another catastrophe to arrive somehow, if you know what I mean.
No, I would be waiting for my dad to return to tell me what this is all about.
Are you sure he will return soon? Because, I don't know, if we're not certain that he'll be back soon, then we might waste lots of time. And we have got a whole city missing. It feels kind of urgent.
I have no idea when he will come back. I'm just sure that he will come back.
Well, do you know where he might return? Or did he say anything about definitely finding you whenever he's done with whatever he is doing?
If he wants to find me, he will definitely find me. But otherwise, I'm sure he would return home.
So maybe in the long run, we should definitely return back, right? I mean, we're only here for information. And if we don't get any new information, then there's no use for us to be here. We only might go into another city as well to try to find out, I don't know, something more about Jack-O-Lantern. No.
Okay. No. One of the problems I now have as a dungeon master is you uttered those words, and in that moment I realized, oh shit, there's no way he's gonna be called something else ever again.
Oh no. It sounded weirdly, and then you started laughing, and I was like, oh no. Jack O'Haron. Yes.
Information about Jack O'Haron.
We're looking for information on Jack O'Haron. We're looking at information about elves and about titans. And maybe, I mean, we could always go from city to city and try to find out some new information. But I'm honestly not sure, like, how far this is going to bring us.
Do any of you know about a magician, wizard, sorcerer, or anyone of that kind in this city?
I don't know anyone. All of my people were in the upper city, which is now gone, so I have no connections.
Well, I mean, do any of us have an idea if there is someone like that in this city?
Oh.
Because if I understood correctly, the upper city was, well, at least partly, sorcerers of some kind lived in the upper city, so, and it got teleported away, so.
We are assuming it got teleported away.
Yeah, but then maybe a magic user would know more about this?
Yeah, I think looking back through what we've seen through the city, there probably is someone, at least one person, who can cast magic.
Well, is it normal for frogs to walk on walls?
I don't know, but to be honest, I haven't seen any frogs doing a breakdance performance,
even
on the ground, so I don't want to... I don't want to say that this is a normal frog per se, because breakdancing frogs aren't the general norm, probably?
Well, at least not in the Darkwood, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen any breakdancing frogs in Andoras either, so...
There were frogs in Andoras?
No, there were grungs in the city, okay. It's just that Andoras was a city of order, you could say. It wasn't necessarily enforced order, but it was just a calmer, more grounded city, you could say. And the city of Bark seems to be that fountain of color in contrast to that. So it could just be that all the frogs in the city of Andoras never were discovering their breakdancer side.
Okay, so I haven't seen any breakdancing frogs in Andoras.
No, but so... you probably know that there was at least one grung in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We could spend a day looking for a magician.
I mean, you have talked to this professor. What is his name again? Professor Rambert?
Rambert.
Rambert.
Yeah. Rambert was it? He may know someone who can cast magic, right?
At least, at very least, the creator of the beings, but that one isn't here.
Yeah, and I think he's the only one that we kind of know in the city. So we might start there asking for someone, if that's what we want to do.
Also, I'm not sure whether we were finished with the library yet. Did we look through everything there?
Through everything?
I mean, through every room. I remember there were, like, many rooms and we split it up.
I doubt that we looked through every room, but...
We looked through three of at least 28, as last as I remember.
Mm-hmm. Looking through all of them might take a while.
Yeah.
Yet I think not every room is useful for the information that we might search. Some may be filled with recipe books, but that's nothing we are looking for, right?
Yeah.
You never know.
We never know, but...
Don't.
Maybe there's a Fantasy Gordon Ramsay cookbook that uses titan meat.
Yeah, you can normally fight titans there and there.
Destroying cities.
A snack?
Yeah, but I wouldn't bet on it. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to go and search for Professor Renbart, we could also make up some time to look into a few other rooms which might be relevant. But afterwards, I don't know how smart it is to stay in the city for much longer if we don't make any real progress. And with you, I seem kind of nervous somehow. It's like stuff is looking for me, having like really bad dreams, and it feels like nothing is happening, and we're stuck, and ugh.
Have you had those dreams before all of that happened? Or did they just start after the catastrophe?
I would certainly remember.
You've had dreams like these before.
No, okay.
They weren't as clear as these ones you've had in the last few days, but you had these black painting dreams before. They were more nightmarish the times before. So they became calmer, more directed, more purposeful, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's catching you off guard with these dreams, really, is that you're kind of scared of them, but they don't seem to be scary anymore. It's just that history attached to them, that type of dream was used to scare you. When you were a kid, you saw weird shapes that more or less haunted you in your dreams in these weird styles. And now it's more of an image painted towards you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, no, the dreams aren't new, but it's new that they are really directed and really, really bad. I would say just, you know, lots of stuff happened the last few days, so it's fine or so. I don't know. But I feel like we should be going forward and doing something.
I feel the same way. But on the other hand, I don't really know where to start except just asking Professor Grambert or any other books that we might find.
Yep.
Well, if we don't know where else to start, let's just start there.
Yep.
All right. I think after breakfast, we all slowly make our way or surely make our way to the library.
And another mid-roll of Titan's Call. And dear listener, I gotta ask, you've been listening to the show for 9 episodes now. So if you haven't, why not hand us one of these neat little reviews that podcasters love so much? It takes just one click and writing one or two sentences about why you come back to the show every week. Or just tell a friend about how excited you are about the next Titan's Call episode. And send them a link to listen to you. And send them a link so they can listen with you. Not only are you sharing great content with your friends this way, because I think this content is great, and you might think too, because you've listened to 9 episodes so far, but you also are helping us with getting this show in front of more eyes, which is really important to beat the algorithm of podcasting. And thank you for that. Really, thank you for sharing this show and listening to the show. It's just been great to see so many people have enjoyed this show so far, and I can't wait for what's next. As always, I'm also going to ask you to follow us on social media wherever you are. We are too, at DoubleDM or at DoubleDMPod. Maybe there's an underscore in there, maybe not. You will find us there, I'm sure. And you can share your views and theories and more with us on Twitter and Blue Sky and Instagram and Tumblr and TikTok. We're also on TikTok. We haven't done any video content yet, but maybe we will. Maybe follow us on TikTok now to be the first one to watch any kind of videos we do there. Oh my god, I'm gonna have to do TikTok videos. Maybe you think Curadian is a sentient cheese wheel and want to share that with us. I don't know why you would think that, but maybe you do, and I won't fault you for that. And with that, I've already done too much chaos in this mid-roll. I'm just gonna send you right back to that episode. Have fun.
So you guys eat up, you guys make your way towards the library, right? The city is still this magical, colorful place. You see the Tree of Creation is still seen from everywhere around the city, right? You can see its big, big shadow that it casts in the sun over the city. You can see the rivers floating through the city, the bridges that we've talked about that kind of grow from the roots of the tree to allow you guys to walk over these rivers that have been completely incorporated into the city. What you also realize is that there are some people, not even that few people, shouting and spurting conspiracy theories about the end of the world being near. On a few crates or walking through the streets with bells, you hear people screaming, "The monsters are coming for us next! Be prepared! Get ready to flee!" You would attribute that mostly to being morons that just want attention, but they might raise a good point about not knowing if you're safe here in the city. And one of these idiots kind of walks right alongside you with a spell, "Ding, flee, get ready to flee, the monsters are coming for you next," and then walks away once again.
Do they look like citizens of Bark or citizens of Andorra?
Citizens of Bark, mostly. Okay.
So not someone of Andorra walking through the city, you are next.
No, you would think that the most citizens, probably all citizens of Andorra, have that little bit of dignity to not do that shit.
Yeah, that's what I thought about. So that would be, whew.
They're smart enough to know that doing that will probably not be the best thing for the rest of the other refugees, and it's not just about them. Once again, you've walked along this temple again once before. The temple of nature in the city, and Gara, the goddess of nature, and her children, is probably one of the best sights to behold in the city. A huge building that looks a lot like the Hanging Gardens of Bali. The step-like pyramid-like building overgrown with all kinds of plants and trees. Waterfalls rushing down into ponds on the huge grounds, which look like an overgrown, colorful jungle of flowers, trees, ferns, and all kinds of other plants. A big statue of Mother Nature Gara sits right at the front entrance, watching over everyone. Inside the temple, you can see a group of all sizes and shapes, plant people. Skins like bark from a tree, made from wood or plants woven together, these living plants seem to tend to the gardens of Gara. One of them has a little mushroom-like head, another is wearing a melon as for their head, another is rather big and broadly built, who looks like a walking little oak tree. And they are tending to the gardens, right? They are watering the plants, they are cutting the path so citizens and visitors and pilgrims of the temple can still walk through this jungle, more or less. Some of them are actually waving to other citizens. Probably there's also someone waving at you guys as they see you looking. And it seems that they are friendly and kind of inviting. Not necessarily saying, yes, come to the temple, but just that the temple is open for everyone to maybe get away from the city, right? It's this big jungle where you probably can blend out everything that is happening around you because you're just surrounded by nature and the serenity of it might be calming.
Mm. Kuradian would stop and take a closer look at this temple.
Sure.
If someone waves at him, he would wave back.
Yeah, there are small plant people waving at you. I don't know, one of them looks kind of like small little fella that looks kind of like just a berry bush.
Aww.
With like these big blueberry eyes and small twigs her hands, waves at you and then carries on with their duties.
How often did I see plant people in the Darkwood?
None.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The Darkwood isn't known to be a place of life, necessarily.
No, it's known to be a place of death and mystery.
Yeah, not even necessarily death. It's a place of mystery and forgotten, you would say.
Yeah. Guys?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Maybe we could just ask in the temple, or has anyone of you ever seen plant people?
I haven't.
Me neither.
Great. And I start walking towards the temple.
Okay.
Follow.
As good a place as any, and follow as well.
Yeah, I would like to enter the temple, to go into this jungle. Huge garden.
You can walk into the garden, right? You walk under the statue of Gara into this garden, and then you can just disappear into this thick, colorful jungle, right? There are paths, but more or less they are nature paths, so they are overgrown, they are not very easily walkable, but they are made accessible enough that you can walk them, and you could walk them with, I don't know, a cart as well, maybe even. But they're not paved roads.
Yeah, I would just take a path and walk it for like 5 minutes before actually looking for someone to talk to.
There's this calming serenity about it. As you enter this thick jungle, it blocks out everything. It makes the city around you disappear. It kind of envelops you into this colorful blanket, more or less, of calmness. You kind of forget sorrows, you forget all burdens, and just are in the moment. And yeah, after some time, you can find a plant person. It's a rather big, probably 3 meter tall, tree-like person. It's, you see these woven barks and twigs together that form basically a Groot-like person. However, they are much broader, very thick arms, and that they use to carry around something. You see that they are carrying around a big sack of tools, you would say. Yeah, those are probably tools they use to tend to the garden.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Lovely garden you have here.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. May I ask what you are?
I am a plant person. That is what we are referred to by your kind.
And what would you refer yourself to?
A person.
Oh, okay. Do you know magic?
A little bit.
Oh, great.
Most plant people know a bit of magic.
Is magic involved in you moving?
Magic is what gives us sentience.
Hmm.
Magic is what gives us thought.
Okay. Do you know anything about magic wounds?
Magic wounds or runes?
Runes. I can't pronounce runes. The R.
Runes.
Runes.
I do know a bit about runes.
Great. And I take a look at Maisie.
All right.
His gaze kind of slowly follows yours to Maisie. Hello there.
Hello. I'm Maisie. And I hold my breath and I'm looking at this person, plant person. I'm trying to figure out what is going on behind those eyes.
They have a face, but it seems to be a little bit less of a normal face. They have a mouth, they move when they talk, they kind of have a nose, they kind of have eyes, but they're right, there isn't any flesh behind it. So it's just eye sockets, more or less.
Amazing.
But they're looking at you because the body is turned towards you now.
I must admit, I do feel kind of confused.
I am sorry about that. Is it my face?
No, it's the fact that you look like a plant and you're talking.
That confuses many people. But rest assured, I am just a normal person with the body of a plant.
This seems like a very reasonable explanation, and
you may close your eyes if that would help you.
Oh, no. This is completely fine, but
okay.
That's not the topic. I was wondering whether you might help us find out what a few certain runes mean. And then I start, I look at the ground. Is there dirt on the ground?
Yeah.
Are there sticks lying around? But
yeah,
I mean, is it like body parts laying around for them?
Very good question. You will have to either ask or find out, because he looks like a tree and there are twigs lying around.
I would like to, And I look at him. I would like to show you the runes. I would like to draw them into the dirt. Am I allowed to pick up a stick? And I look to a nearby stick, and I look to him and his arms, and I look to the stick again. Or is
yes,
it your friends?
You can pick up a stick.
Why shouldn't you pick up a stick?
It's like body parts laying around. I'm so confused.
Kuwait is looking confused. So?
Not everyone likes to pick up body parts and bring them with them everywhere.
What does liking have to do with it? I'm sure you don't want to pick up a stick because you want to pick up a stick. I'm pretty sure you're trying to use it for something useful, right?
Yes. Still, usually people don't go around and pick up body parts just to use them for something. It's not common. This is why people were so disturbed when you came around waving with an arm that wasn't yours.
We tried to contain it. It didn't work. And then we were very sorry. and the plant person kind of looks at you, Cradian. You picked up an arm that wasn't yours?
Well, I'm pretty sure the person who belonged to you didn't need it anymore. And we were trying to, you know, search for clues.
It's a long and weird story. Please don't ask any more about it.
If you do
I am not proud
want
of this moment.
To ask, then I won't ask. But yes, Miss Macy, you are allowed to pick up a stick. It is not a body part or a brethren of mine. It is a stick.
Okay, thank you for the reassurance.
I thank you for asking that.
No problem. Not everyone is going around picking up body parts randomly without asking.
You are repeating yourself.
You shouldn't go around picking up body parts that do not belong to you and then keep them as your property.
Does someone do that?
Who knows? And I pick up the stick and try to draw the runes I remember from the wall in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, make an intelligence check to tell me how good you remember those runes and can draw them in the dirt now.
That's a 6.
That's a 6. Okay, so you draw these runes to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Since they kind of burnt themselves into your memory, I'm gonna say that even a 6 allows you to get at least the basics of them right. But you don't get every stroke correct necessarily. You just get the basics. You know the shape, you know how many strokes you need and whatever, but it's hard to actually create the full runes. So you draw that into the ground and this tree creature goes, mm-hmm, okay. Are these all the runes?
It's all the runes I can remember.
That is okay. Looks at them for like 2, 3, 4 more minutes without saying anything. I think that these runes are magic runes.
Okay, we think so too. Thank you for the reassurance.
What color did they glow in?
They glowed in a very bright, lightish blue.
Okay.
Does it matter?
It does matter. The runes you've drawn me are not correct. Many of them are imperfect to actual runes used in summoning rituals. But summoning runes do not glow blue. They glow red.
So we have runes that look like for summoning, but they are the wrong color. What kind of runes glow blue then?
Mostly runes used to teleport or to change an object's meta magic. Summoning runes are used at places where you want something to go. These runes can be reversed to become runes that are planted on something that you want to go somewhere or want to change that thing you're drawing the runes on.
What do you mean by change?
You could change an object's meta magical conditions.
Do you have an example?
If you make an object invisible.
Okay, this is great news. This is actually great news. It's not gone. It was destroyed. It's just gone. I mean, it is gone, but it's not gone. It's somewhere else gone.
What is not gone or not destroyed?
The upper city.
The what?
You heard about the incident in Andorra, right?
I have heard of the incident in the city of Andorras.
Well, there was the upper city where I live, and those runes I just tried to draw on the floor were drawn onto the walls, and the city is now gone, and we were trying to figure out where it went and whether it was destroyed. And if you say that the blue is for teleportation, then we might have hope that it's just somewhere else and not, I don't know, gone. And if it's reversible runes, then someone might be able to reverse it and bring the city back. And
you would need the summoning runes to summon it back. But if what you say is true, someone teleported the city from inside the city, they might have measures in place to defend themselves against conjurations and summons.
I mean, none of us can actually do magic, so that's a whole another problem.
Can the person which teleported it away from the inside teleport it back?
If they still have the runes, then yes.
The runes were on the wall, right, Maisie?
Yes.
And the wall is gone too, so why shouldn't they?
Maybe they are just waiting for the right time to bring back the upper city. But that doesn't make sense. That means that the people are probably okay, and this gives me hope. And for like the first time in a few days, I feel like something is actually maybe going to be okay. And it's nice. I have no idea how we're going to get them back, but it's at least somewhat good news.
Maybe we don't have to get them back ourselves. If there's still a person there that can teleport the city back, but waits maybe for a signal of some sort that it is maybe safe again. If we can just get the signal across to wherever it may be, they can do that themselves. But this might be an easier task than teleporting the whole city ourselves back.
That is an interesting point. Can you tell by the runes where something was teleported?
It would be inscribed in the magic, but the runes are universal. The magic user would know where an object was teleported.
Mm-hmm.
You say an entire city was teleported.
The upper city, an entire city district. I remember correctly.
A city district was teleported. That requires a lot of energy and magic. They would probably need a catalyst. That device probably has inscribed more of these runes, probably denoting the destination.
Is this catalyst? Or storage device, is this something one needs to have and at the object which is being teleported?
Yes, the object that is teleported is the catalyst, and then everything around it connected to it through the magic means.
So we have no chance to find it, because if we would find the catalyst, we would find the city.
Yes, that is correct.
So to find information about where the city went, we would have to find the city.
If you want to find information where the city went, but you have to find the city for that, you're running in a circle.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for your help. Really.
It was my pleasure. You're welcome for the assistance.
Wait, so what do we do now?
Do you let them just go about their day and go away? Because that is what they would do now that you told them that you don't require the services anymore.
Yeah.
So they would just go.
Yeah.
So you're alone again. Okay, yeah. That's mm-hmm. just wanted to check before you guys are going to ask something again and they are not there anymore.
So what are we going to do now? The point of finding a magic user person of some sort to ask about the ruins or the upper city is now done, so...
I mean, I feel optimistic that the people are not gone forever, but I'm skeptical about our abilities to actually do something for it, for the city, or...
Got to the point where we know that we can't find it because we would be running in a circle, so yeah.
So our best guess is now to look into Jack-O-Lantern. So our best guess is to look into information about Jack-O-Heron, right? Maybe the elves. Oh, it's so complicated.
And maybe along this way, we might find some way to contact the city without directly knowing where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That could be something that is more in our power to do.
The question is, though, whether we should try to contact the city, because we don't know why the person or the group of people who teleported the city away might have various reasons to do that. Of course, one obvious might be to just protect the city from the Titans, but we cannot be sure that it's not for some evil reasons. And if we then contact the city and people notice that we're able to get in contact with the city, they might move it even further or destroy it. So, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Gradient, maybe the people who teleported the city away are bad. And if we tell them that we know how to contact them, they might make the city go completely away. And that would be bad.
But why would that make it a difference for them?
Yeah, because they thought they were safe? I don't know. Who teleports the whole city away anyway? I mean...
Probably some kind of magic user who was powerful enough and doesn't want to get destroyed.
I mean, yeah, we could assume that. But right now, everything feels fairly scary and not kind. So I don't know how much kindness we can just assume.
Well, if you say so, I mean, you are from the upper city. You tell me how the people who live there are. Are they evil?
Not the people, but we don't know if it was someone from the upper city or someone from outside or anything. So it's just speculations right now, and I don't think it...
Persons from the outside, we might want to look into people that we've seen at the temple, if we can find out anything about those. Maybe there's another lead there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think the library might still be a good destination for us right now.
Yeah, agreed.
So we leave this wonderful jungle behind to go to the library?
For now.
Again.
From a jungle made of wood to a jungle made of books. You guys enter the library. As always, you see the Bing system working tirelessly with all effort, all five systems operational, working away on documents. And you see the two doors that lead to the corridors of the library.
Okay, then I would like to approach one of the Bings.
Okay.
Hello again. Hi.
Hello.
I have another question. I was looking for information on different cults. Do you have any books about that or any reports?
We have books and reports and articles and legends and a lot of other kind of information on cults, religions, and any kind of faith-related terminology and topics.
And then I would like to describe the robes that I saw in the temple to one of the Bings.
The Bings are not encyclopedias of the library. Mm-hmm. They know where stuff is, but you still have to find the stuff yourself. They wouldn't know gray robes.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to ask them regarding that, where I might find information about that in the library.
About gray robes or about a cult?
About a cult.
Okay, you can find faith-related topics in room 14.
Thanks a lot, and then I'll just go there.
You can go to room 14. The other two, do you follow? Do you ask the Bing system something else? What do you do?
I simply follow.
Yeah, I would also follow Aiden.
Okay, so yeah, you guys can enter room 14, and you can find a lot of books. But that's what we're gonna pick up next week. On the next episode, on episode 10, Double Digits.
Ooh.
of Titan's Call. Stay tuned, people. Thank you so much for listening to us. We're gonna hear you on the next one. Bye-bye.
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 Bye.